In a few moments, we're going to move to that part of our liturgy, to that part of our service this evening that is special, that is particular to Ash Wednesday. It is the part where, in the words of our prayers, we begin to journey to Easter with the sign of ashes, an ancient sign speaking of frailty and uncertainty and of human life. So I said to the group at 10 a.m. this morning, as I've been reflecting on the readings for Ash Wednesday over the last few weeks and reflecting on our liturgy, in part looking at it with the confirmation class, I've been torn about what to say tonight. I've been torn about what to say tonight because the words that we say in this service alongside the imposition of ashes are these words: remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And those words sound an awful like words in a different service in our green book, a service we've also been hearing from quite a bit lately, the funeral service. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I said those words this past Monday at a funeral in Rankin. I know now that I'll be saying those words next Saturday, March 16th, as we lay John Hansen to rest. And I know many of us in this community have said those words in one place or another with people who we love over the course of this past year. And so I think very few of us here tonight, very few of us are probably in need of another reminder of our vulnerable humanity, of our mortality, of the uncertainty and frailty of human life. And yet here we are. Here we are doing just that, reminding ourselves, remembering for ourselves, remembering who we are, that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. In both of these liturgies of the church, the service for Ash Wednesday and the funeral service, the celebration of life, in both of these contexts, we are continually reminded that even though we are dwelling in vulnerable mortality, even though we are dwelling in the shadow of death, there is always, always life. That's the journey of Lent, my friends. That's what this next 40 days is all about. It's not that we might skip over our mortality. It's not that we might skip over our individual and our communal need for self-examination and penitence and go straight to the resurrection, go straight to Easter Sunday. It's not that. Over these next 40 days, we discover that we have hope in the midst of hurt, that we have love in the midst of pain, that we have life in the midst of death. The cross of ashes that I will soon mark on your foreheads and say, you are but dust, and to dust you shall return, reminds us all of our mortality. But it also, really importantly, reminds us of the cross that was marked on our heads with chrism at our baptism. The cross that was marked on your heads when you were marked as Christ's own and sealed forever. The next 40 days are about encountering both of those truths, both of those realities. I like to call it the both and nature of Easter. Because on this side of Easter, looking at Easter from Ash Wednesday, we very much dwell on the cross, on the wood of the cross. We dwell on death and our mortality. But as Christians, we don't just stay there. We dwell on both sides of the cross, on both sides of Easter, the both and nature of Easter. You see, we're not like the disciples who we heard about this past Sunday at church. Remember those ones? We talked about them in Sunday school. When they went up the mountain, and they saw Jesus' face transfigured in an absolutely beautiful light, and they were like, whoa, what is going on here? And they couldn't figure it out. And Peter was like, let's just stay put. This is good enough for me. Let's build three houses and just stay here. But you see, we're not like them. Because unlike Peter, at least unlike Peter in that part of the story, we have seen the empty tomb. We know the truth of the empty tomb. And so we know even as we journey in the valley of the shadow of death, there is life. As our liturgy says this night, may these ashes be for us a sign of our mortality and penitence. And this is a really important and a reminder that only by your gracious gift are we given eternal life through Jesus Christ, the both-and nature of Easter. In the excerpt we heard tonight from St. Paul, the second letter to the Corinthians that Beth read for us, we are reminded that it is in God's action through Christ, through the pivot point of the cross, that it is possible for us to imagine this both-and, that we can approach it still with sharp focus, not detracting in any way from the truth and the pain and the suffering of our mortality, and yet still know that there is a way to transcend it, to get to the other side, to experience the resurrection. See, Paul writes tonight in Corinthians, see, now is the acceptable time, he says. Now is the acceptable time. Not someday down the road. Not someday in 50 years or 60 years or 10 years or how many years when we find ourselves standing at the so-called pearly gates of St. Peter. But now is the time for resurrection. Now is the day of salvation. Now is when we can taste this new life. And Paul is not so naive as to think it's going to be a cakewalk along the way, or to use an image from yesterday, a pancake walk. It's not going to be easy. And he outlines that. We are going to stumble. We are going to be human. Paul says there will be great endurance in affliction, hardships, calamities, sleepless nights. I know many of us have had those of late. Labors, hungers. That's the stuff that life is about. And we have been reminded of that in these last few weeks in particular as we've lost loved ones in this congregation. But in outlining all of this, Paul is, I think, seeking to remind us that it's because of the cross, because of God reconciling God's self to us through this beautiful, mysterious pivot point, that we as Christ's image bearers are able to take on the ministry of reconciliation and walk out into the world bearing our candles of new light, bearing the candles that were given to us at baptism along with that cross on our forehead and shining light into the dark cracks of the world. It is as if Paul is reminding us in this letter to the church at Corinth that God is walking with us through this Lenten journey. God is with us, even in the valley of the shadow of death, walking alongside us, being the good shepherd, guiding us the whole way. Because, as Paul writes, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. All of us go down to the dust, yet even at the grave we make our song. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. May the cross placed on our foreheads this Lent remind us not only of our mortality, but also of that promise of new life, a promise sealed by God with a promise made on our foreheads and on our hearts. Amen.